So let's hear about your cases, beginning with your patient with CLL.
He's a 63-year-old male. He's actually a physician who, like a year ago, developed a lymphadenopathy. And then he had a blood count which showed evidence of CLL with a high white cell count that was over 100,000. At that time, I started him on a traditional treatment for that kind of patient, the FCR regimen, based on fludarabine, cyclophosphamide, and rituximab.
Could you just mention also the workup that you did with him and what it showed?
Okay. We went ahead and did a bone marrow, which obviously confirmed the diagnosis. He had the non-mutated type of CLL, and at that point, he also had trisomy 12. No evidence of deletion 17P. I also like to do a PET scan in these cases just because I want to look at the SUVs. If I find any area where the SUV is high, and when I say high, I mean 14 or more, then I would be concerned about the possibility that he might actually have a diffuse large cell lymphoma in that area, and I would go ahead and biopsy such an area. In his case, he didn't have that. All the SUVs were low. And he responded very well to the FCR regimen with the lymph nodes shrinking, but they didn't completely disappear. And after I had given him 6 rounds of FCR, I repeated his bone marrow. And the bone marrow was much better. His peripheral blood actually recovered very nicely with the white cell normalizing. However, after the 6 course, something happened, which was that his counts didn't recover. He remained neutropenic for a long time, like 8 weeks. So I repeated the bone marrow and also tested it for parvovirus, thinking about the possibility that it might be causing the cytopenia. But he didn't have any parvovirus at all. So I decided to wait a little bit longer because sometimes the fludarabine can cause prolonged cytopenias. But he has not recovered, and his white cell count is starting to go back up now. When we did the last marrow, we repeated the FISH studies, and now he has a deletion 17P. So at this point, I'm considering switching therapy, not waiting any longer, and starting him on ibrutinib. We've also considered venetoclax as another alternative. Both are reasonable options at this point, but tradition has been mostly to try ibrutinib because both ibrutinib and venetoclax are active in patients who have CLL with deletion 17P. So it's much easier, of course, to give ibrutinib, which is given daily with very little toxicity. He doesn't have any bleeding problems, he's not anticoagulated, or there's no contraindication for ibrutinib in this patient. Of course, venetoclax at some point will also be used because ibrutinib is not going to cure him. So that's going to be my next step. Should ibrutinib stop working, or if it doesn't work, then I would switch to venetoclax, which I think is an excellent drug. The concern always has been the tumor lysis syndrome, as you know. But I think with the technique now using the ramp up of the dose, starting at a low dose, and usually the problem with the hyperuricemia and the tumor lysis syndrome has not been a major issue any longer.